Our God does not have anything in His ears. Our God's ears are always open. Our God's hands are never too busy to reach down to where we are. Do you realize tonight that you are a child of His? My children that I love so dearly, and my grandchildren, which we won't talk about tonight, when they ask me something, they expect to receive because I'm their father. And how much more, if we being earthly know how to do this, should we not expect our God to answer our prayers? Amen? We should expect. Pray tonight with expectation. Pray with expectation. And you know, when I first came into Pentecost, as a lad of a boy, I had been used to a church where one person prayed and we all listened. And then another one prayed and we'd all listen. And I come to that Pentecostal church and everybody was praying. I thought it's the wildest place I've ever seen in my life. Some of y'all are having that same problem. Right? How in the world can God, it's mass confusion, but it's not confusion when you begin to realize you're not praying for that person next to you to understand or to be impressed, and you're not praying for that one on the other side of you to be impressed, but you're praying to your Heavenly Father and expecting Him to hear you and hear. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. We sang that song, Have Faith in God. Now, I've got some things I'm expecting tonight. First of all, in this prayer conference, I want to start it off by saying, and I mean it from the depths of my soul, I'm expecting God to help Family Worship Center and the other churches of this community reach this city for God. I've asked. You've asked. We have not prayed amiss. I want to say this, and I know we've got guests from other churches, and we welcome you, and we thank you for being here, and this is your conference. But I'm praying, and it's coming to pass, and I won't spend time tonight. In private, I'll tell you about some of these things, but it's coming to the point that even the people downtown are beginning to understand that if they do something, they better check with some of us out here, because some of us have got a little more in than they thought we had in the times past, and that's all I'll say. That's no glory to us. It's no glory to us. It's glory to Him. This church is on the lips of a lot of people. This great revival that's happening in this city is on the lips of a lot of people. I'm not just wanting to just impress the people and the leaders of this community. I'm convinced that the Lord, through His divine mercy, is going to help us reach this city for God. He's not only going to help us reach this city, but I'm expecting God to help us reach this parish. I'm not only expecting God to help us reach this parish, but I'm expecting God to help us reach this state. There's no state in the Union needs God any more than Louisiana needs it. He's not going to help us reach this state, but He's going to help us reach this nation, and through this ministry affect the world as we've never seen it affected before. Now, why do you say that, Jim Rance? I say it because I've prayed and you've prayed, and I expect God to hear. He said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. I read it to you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a physical, literal mountain, Mount Everest or Mount Moriah. And yes, God can move mountains. But it reminds me of the little lady. She took it literal. She took it literal that this was a mountain. I mean, a literal mountain with stone and soil and rocks and everything. And she had to go over this mountain to get water and to bring it back. It was quite a laborious task. And she said, Lord, she read this scripture and said, Lord, I'm going to pray. And you said, if I had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I could move it. And so she prayed. And she said, Lord, now today I thank you that tomorrow that mountain is going to be moved and cast in the sea, and I'm going to have flat ground to walk on to get water. And she woke up the next morning. She just peeked the curtain aside just a little bit and looked out there. And guess what she saw? A big old mountain. And you know what she said? Just as I expected. I say to you tonight, Christian, let's pray with expectation. Don't pray amiss. Don't pray ridiculous. And may I say this, please understand this preacher's words. Don't pray stupid. Can I say that? Let's pray in God's will. There's some people praying stupid prayers for stupid things. And I'm not going to try to classify them. Use common sense. But when you pray, expect. And now finally, this is the crackers and cheese, remember? The main course is coming. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let me read James chapter 1 before I read James chapter 5. It'll add to what I've just said concerning being expectant. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Then he said, but let him ask how? In faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, if he wavers in the wind, or like a sea, a wave on the sea. For he said in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I must say this week I was called double-minded. I hope I'm not that double-minded. I believe if we set our hearts and set our faith with expectation, God will answer. How many believes that? Now turn over in that book to James chapter 5 as we close. The church. James chapter 5 verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The rest of that says what? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, I don't think we ought to be experimental in our prayers. I think we ought to be expectant in our prayers. But I think lastly and thirdly, and maybe more importantly, we ought to be effectual in our prayers. We ought to be fervent in our prayers. I don't think we have time to just go through a ritual. I've been to the wall in Jerusalem many times, the Wailing Wall. I have no criticism for those men's prayers. I have been there in the wee hours of the morning. I have been there at noon. I've been there in the early part of the day. At 24 hours a day, Mark Buntain, 7 days a week, the Jewish rabbis stand at that wall and pray. You talk about fervency in prayer. I have witnessed a lot of people praying, but I have never witnessed such fervency as I've watched those Israelites, those Israelis, pray at that wall. They pray in a different way than we pray. They even pray out of a book. You know what the book is? The book of Psalms. They sit there and they go like this. They rock back and forth. And they pray. Some of you have been there, know what I'm talking about. They pray like this. And some of them rock back and forth like this. And I've watched them so fast, and they're rocking back and forth. I said, my word, he's going to lose his equilibrium and hit his head against that wall. I'm serious. I have never seen such intenseness. They're praying for two things, basically. First of all, for the peace of Jerusalem. Secondly, that the Messiah may come. We Christians tonight, I asked myself, Glenn Miller, could we get people to go and make a wall and pray 24 hours a day? The lights, the floodlights hits that thing 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And on their Sabbath day, they go and stay there all day, because those Orthodox Jews will not walk over a mile on the Sabbath. They stay there all day. Or those that, and some of them move close to the wall so they can go back home. They will not travel. But the fervency of their prayers, I have never seen anything like it, as they stand at that wall and pray. Floodlights every night, light, as I said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They are in prayer. It is no wonder, hear me tonight, it is no wonder, somebody's going to misunderstand what I'm going to say, it is no wonder Israel wins wars. I remind you, they are in darkness. They do not pray to the Jesus that we pray, but they pray to the same Heavenly Father we pray to. And they're lost. And that breaks my heart, because there's only one way to heaven. But they pray 24 hours a day to our Father, which art in heaven. They pray effectually. They pray fervently. I think it's time that the Church of the Living God stops marking time. Stops going through a ritual. Stops treading water. Hear me tonight. It's time for the Church of the Living God to quit holding its own. We talk about ritualism. We talk about formality. We in Pentecost are as guilty as anybody. We're guilty, folks. We stand guilty, charged, because we even get into a rut ourselves of the same situation and the same time and the same place, and we stand at the same place and we sit out at the same place, and you can almost set your watches on us. I had a friend from another church says, I used to sit home and say, yeah, that church I used to attend, yeah, they're just now standing for the third song. And now, yeah, they're taking the offering and they're making the announcements and the preacher just got to the pulpit. You can set your watch on them. Oh, I pray the time comes when we forget about the watch and let the Holy Spirit move in and get out of this ritual. Get out of this rut. Folks, this church is maturing and your church is maturing. I'm praying that this church will get to the point. I'm saying this. I've got to say it in this prayer conference. I feel like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy sometimes. Some of you all don't know who Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy is. I have to explain, that's a ventriloquist and a dummy. You got me now? We get to the point that when we say, lift your hands, you lift your hands. We say, sit down, you sit down. We say, stand up, you stand up. Clap your hands, you clap your hands. It gets to almost like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, because Charlie McCarthy can't say nothing Edgar Bergen don't say for him. I'm getting to, I just lost my crowd. We just lost the prayer conference, brother. Folks, I think it ought to be effectual and fervent. I think we ought to get out of the rut. A rut is nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit as He deals with us. In our worship, in our singing, but more importantly, in our prayer, that we do not just say a ritualistic formal prayer that we have learned or we have used to saying, but I'm praying, you hear me tonight, and God's beginning to deal with us in this church. I'm praying that God will wake us up in the wee hours of the morning and lay a burden of prayer on our hearts for someone, that we can be instrumental in helping someone as we are fervent and effectual in our prayer life as a church. Let me tell you what effectual is, then I'm going to close. I'm having trouble closing. To put forth effectual prayer and a fervent prayer means to put forth from within. Prayer is not something you learn, folks, from here. Prayer is something that comes out of here. You put forth from within. A prayer wrought in a righteous man. It's what an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The description of this is, in its strictest sense, a prayer wrought in a righteous man by divine energy which comes from the inside, the Spirit of God dealing with you. When you begin to pray, you pray in understanding, you pray in the Spirit, but you begin to pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is when you begin to really effectually pray and seek God and touch God. I confess to you something. It may not be right for everybody, but it's right for me. The majority of my praying is done in a language I don't understand. And I'm not talking about Spanish for you special Spanish people here tonight. I'm talking about a language that you Spanish don't even understand. Because I pray, and I'm asking God to deal with me more in this. I want my praying to come from the inside. I don't want it to be something to learn. I've heard people say, Brother Rance, I don't sound good when I pray. I hate to stand. And some have said, I have difficulty praying in a public place because my prayers are not structured. Folks, it's not the structure of the prayer. It's what's from the inside. It's from the inside. I have to pray in the morning. I have to. As a pastor, one of the pastors in this church, I have to pray in the morning. Because when the day gets, that sun comes up very high, it's too late. It's too late. Brother Miller, I want to vote for your daybreak. I hope you get every person in this building enrolled in daybreak. I was in China. I thought about it today as I went through the China Pavilion. It was so vividly upon my heart. Esther and I and Brother and Sister Gorman went through the China Pavilion. I thought how lost those people are. They're so protective. I walked up to one little girl and I said to Brother Gorman, these people can't afford to bring their people over here from China and show them this land. Because, folks, China is 100 years behind the rest of the world. They don't know what life is all about the American way. And I said to Brother Gorman, we stood there and talked and waited on our wives as they were shopping, and him and I don't shop too well. I said, the culture shock of bringing these people out of their land to this land is overwhelming. I've met some of them. I've been there, as I said, three times. And I said, they've got to acclimate these people. They've got to work with these people. They've got to almost brainwash these people to get them to go back and be satisfied. Thank God for America tonight. Thank God for America. Thank God for America. I walked up to one of these little girls today, was waiting on Esther, and I just began to be inquisitive, and I said, and I should have known better. She didn't look too Chinese, but I have a problem. I admit that. And I said, what city in China are you from? And she said, I'm from the Philippines. Something clicked in this. I got the gift of suspicion. You understand that? Something clicked in my heart. These people are not going to let any more of their people out to see this land. They have to. They've even hired Filipinos to man the booth. Hear me. They've hired Filipinos. A lot of them are Filipinos. I begin to look around, and you can tell the difference if you look closely. But I want to say this about China as I close. Church, I was in China three times that year. And when I got home, three different individuals came up to me after one of my trips and said to me, Brother Rance, and some of you heard me tell this, but I'm talking about prayer tonight. Did you have any difficulty between this day and this day? And I said, no, not that I know of. Well, I kind of passed that off. When the second one come, I began to compare notes that I was in China. When the third one got to me, I realized the third time a person had come to me and said, Brother Rance, did you have difficulty on these particular days? Because God woke me up. And see, I was on the other side of the world. And told me to pray for you. Folks, I'm talking about prayer warriors tonight. You should be so keenly sensitive to the Holy Spirit that He should be able to wake you up and deal with you as a church, regardless of what time it is. You see, God never slumbers and He never sleeps. He's up all the time. And think about, there's missionaries like this precious man who's going to take this microphone in a moment, who goes through untold problems that needs prayer. And if they would only be those back home that would be keenly sensitive to the Spirit of God, that their prayers may be effectual and may be fervent. that could deal with this man's problems. You say, God knows all about it. Why don't he deal with it? He knows everything. I don't understand. God has told us to pray. I don't recall being in any circumstances that I need prayer. I don't recall being in any difficulty, Mark Buntaine. I don't recall any danger that came my way while I was on those trips in China. I knew I was watched all the time. But I believe that I was in danger and didn't even know it. But some people back home prayed and saw me safely through whatever I was in. I believe that. Three people came to me. You see, he even takes us out of danger when we don't even know we're near danger. All right. There's a new wave of prayer in this church, and I'm closing with this. God has begun to deal with us to meet and pray for Brother Swaggart. These Saturday night hour of power 7:14 prayer meetings started off with 40, and now we are to 85. Tomorrow night, we're going to be back in this place. We're going to have a morning service. Brother Miller and Brother Buntaine, and we're going to let you go. We're going to expect you back tomorrow night to fall on these altars at 2 Chronicles 7:14. We don't start at 7:13. We don't start at 7:15. We start at 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name. So tomorrow night, we'll call you to prayer. There's a new wave of prayer. The enemy's fighting us. And I know. It's important, some of the things we're doing, and I'm doing some things on the radio, and I'm saying some pretty harsh things on the radio. And Brother Swaggart says, I got to tell you what Brother Swaggart says about Brother Miller. Brother Swaggart says Brother Miller comes on at 2 o'clock, and he loves the people, and he prays for them, and he soothes them, and he loves them and prays for them. And then Jim Rentz comes on at 4 o'clock and hits them upside the head and beats them all over the place. And I admit I'm pretty controversial at times, and I've hit them pretty hard. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got a little secret for you. We're not going to win that war on that radio station. And I'm not foolish enough to believe that. We're going to win this war against the devil on our knees. How many believes that tonight? Glory to God. God bless you.